Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen Arms Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today. Truly, I am so excited that you joined me on today, and I'd just like for you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I know today, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to be tremendously blessed with another wonderful lesson that's going to impact, revelate, strengthen, edify, and build you up on today in your most holy faith. Yes, we have to pray in that Holy Ghost too as well. And so watch God tremendously bless you on today. I want you to turn with me on today over to Luke chapter 21, verses number 25 and verse 27, as well as Hebrews chapter number 10, verses number 23 and verse number 25. And before we get into the lesson, I encourage you to go and check out our website at drhelenorm.com, as well as the Shekinah Glory Tabernacle.com. Just check our website out. We have some of the Blog Talk lessons on there as well. You can click on the link and listen to it. And I know you'll just tremendously be blessed. Also, you can look up and get more information about the book, Self-Care Through Prayer and Forgiveness, as well as the sermon, ORM sermon tool, delivery tool is also on there, as well as the Divine Touch booklet is on there as well. Go and check it out. I know you'll be greatly, greatly blessed. And so come on in. Let's just take a look at this wonderful lesson on today. It says, be faithful in the face of doubt and fear. Let's take a look at those scriptures, Luke chapter number 21, verse 25 to 27. And there shall be signs in the sky, in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 23 and through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, notwithstanding forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Our thought today is talking about the faithlessness marked by the age before Christ's coming. The Lord's bride will emerge as a faithful people who will reject fear and doubt. So let's take a look at this wonderful lesson on today. Is an essential to salvation. Satan does all that he can to create doubt. The arch enemy of faith. He knows believers must keep believing. Therefore, if Satan can do anything to disturb that continual process of faith, he will. To avoid Satan's darts of doubt, we need to strengthen our belief system against such attack and demonstrate faithfulness amid in the face of fear and doubt. Now, doubt is just as evil and destructive, even as fear is. With those two working together, Satan attacked believers to try to defeat and destroy them. Now, when individuals allow fear to control them, they become powerless as a child of God, for the source of the believer's power is their faith. Now, I want you to grab that. The source of your power is your faith. We taught on and spoke a message on Sunday about the leap of faith. Take your faith and leap forward and do the work and the will of the Lord our God in the midst of doubt, in the midst of faith, fear, everything that is coming up to sabotage your faith. Leap forward in the things of God. As the world is going downstream, the children of God is leaping forward and upward. Now, the believer should not allow the thought of these kind of attacks to discourage them, because there is an antidote to fear and doubt: faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, Ephesians 6:16. With unwavering faith in God, his ability, fear and doubt become ineffective and impotent. Further, faith enables believers to be faithful, because faithfulness is derived from faith, expressed in consistent living and reward in the end. We can live victoriously in the end time and be faithful in the midst of an atmosphere of fear and doubt. Now, let's take a look at the end time attitude, which is fear and doubt. Now, we live in an age of fear, and there's a phobia for everything from adultophobic, all type of phobia and things, for not forgiving, the fear of forgiveness and forgive of going forward. Because fear has been given label, it's troubled many people to consider the proportionate of fear. And they believe that they have more fear than people used to have, those that have these phobias and things. And so it's very important for us to recognize that. Now, we have nothing to fear but the fear itself. Fear is undoubtedly a major attitude even at the end time. And as we sit, we can recognize that's all that we're hearing about, the dreadful things that are happening. Every day there's something going on. Every day there's something new that is happening to incite fear. Let's look here. Doubt is another end time attitude that we are considering also in this particular lesson. Doubt is translated from a Greek word meaning to stand in two ways. In other words, it is to be double-minded about a matter. Doubt is damaging to a believer because it neutralizes their faith, and faith is necessary for a person to please the Lord, Hebrews 11:6. Now, when fear and doubt join hands, their attack can be devastating to a child of God, especially a new convert. Now, fear and doubt causes the believer to question their experience, to question themselves, and even to question God. Even an established child of God must withstand the attacks of fear and doubt. And I like to say, speak back to it. Speak your faith. Prophesy. Put a word of what the word of the Lord has already declared about you, your life, your children's. Put it in the atmosphere. And I believe that when you put it in the atmosphere, it's going to open a portal for the angels to bring it to pass and to move on your behalf, because you're releasing your faith. Oh, child of God, I felt the unctionizing of the power of God. Be encouraged. Use your faith, child of God. Look here. Let's look at Luke 21:26. Men's heart failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. Now, for those who are under sin's condemnation and not ready to meet the Lord, but who have some understanding of the Lord's coming of the last day, there is an accompanying fear. Those people who have two things about this matter. They know that they are not ready for such times. Also, they know the perilous times are imminent. And with this combination of condemning knowledge, individual hearts are failing. Now, let's see. John said over in 14 and 27, let not thy heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, not only are these scripture events associated with the last days, but also there are events prophesied by would-be prophets that frightening the masses. These events from the date advertised as the end of the world is catastrophic and become a part of the tapestry of apostolic prophecy by self-appointed seers. Satan uses these dire predictions to compound some of people's fear of the coming event. When a person has experienced the new birth, is living according to the word, a man of God, and has a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, they may not look forward to the events of the last day, but they do not fear them either, like a non-believer. Now, the believers know that the last day event, no matter how severe they will be, are only a prelude to eternity with Jesus Christ. Unbelievers who have nothing to look forward to in eternity neutrally and naturally fear these great events that's getting ready to come upon the face of the earth greatly. Now, according to the statistics by the Wells Cornell Department of Surgery, heart disease is America's leading heart problem and the leading cause of death. Unfortunately, fear is damaging not only to a person's health in general, but also to their heart specifically. They saying scared to death can be literally true. Upon hearing of tragedy, many people suffer heart attacks. It is interesting that the expression, giving their hearts to the Lord, is often used when people come to the Lord in repentance. Further, the scripture instructs us as well to love the Lord with all of our heart. Matthew 22 and verse 37. The heart is the focal point of surrender and service. When a person or people are out of communion with God, some will say that their heart is not right with God. While these are uses of words, hearts are both literal as well as representative of the central core of an individual. The physical heart of a person also benefits or suffers when a person lives in communion with God or does not. It is understandable that the heart is the organ that signals the presence of extreme fear. Wow. Now, speaking of the last day, Zechariah prophesied, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Zechariah 14 and 12. Jesus spoke of a coming wars and famines and pestilence and earthquake. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. In his second epistle, Peter wrote, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works there are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3 and 10. Now, there are many other frightful events prophesied in the Bible concerning the last day, but these alone are enough to strike fear in the heart of an unbeliever. Various people and groups have advertised in relatively recent years several dates of the end of the world. Some undoubtedly have been well-meaning and others not in well-meaning. It would appear that Satan is inspiring these self-appointed apocalyptic prognosticators that he may strike more fear in the heart of the people. Now, look, Paul warned us of these false prophets in his second epistle to the Thessalonians. And it reads on this line, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses number 1 through 3. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by words nor by letter as from us, as that the days of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, let's look further. Now, a fear of the unknown. Now, the world today tends to identify and label everything. Over the century, people have occupied themselves with identifying and classifying everything from a plant to rock, from flowers to bird, from the fish to soil. Anything man cannot identify, he places in the category of the unknown. Now, there is something about the unknown that produces mystery and fear. From the abominable snowman and things on down to all of the different strange things, is a kind of fear in many people. Now, stories of different things, the Bermuda Triangle, or the UFOs, or two other unknown that sometimes strike fear in the hearts of the unsaved. Fear of the unknown are enough to cause a lot of people to be apprehensive. But the subject that produced more fear in some people is unknown aspect concerning the thereafter. Such question as, is there life after death? If so, where? These things torment the mind of many people. Although many skeptics do not believe in hell, they wonder if there could be something to the belief of those who wear evangelistic who believe in the literal burning hell, which where the wicked will go. Many of these topics may be unknown to unknown believers, but the scripture give us many of the answers. Now, there are many, maybe some things unknown about heaven and hell, things not addressed by the scripture, but believers in Christ Jesus do know that they can trust him, for they know him. A person whose faith is anchored totally in Jesus Christ has no fear. He knows whatever happened in the future, God has his best interest at heart, and God will take care of him. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath tormented, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Not only do we receive peace when we are born of the water and spirit, we receive love, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. Now, perfect love, it casts out fear. That's 1 John 4:18. Now let us look further. The doubt of God's word. 2 Peter 3:3-4, it says, knowing this first, that there shall become in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, in the last days is a time of unprecedented doubt concerning God. How much more is it a time of doubt concerning his word? To the skeptic, the Bible is just another book. The respect of the word of the Lord that past generation has seen to be a thing of the past. To many, it is just another book. The child of God, however, It is the word of the Lord. First, when we look at Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Matthew 24 and 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Then the other scripture is Psalms 19, verses 7 through number 9. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now, the believer are constantly bombarded by both Satan and by skeptics who challenge the validity even of the scripture. Satan, who is not the sharpest cosmic entity, tells believers God and the Bible are not true. Apparently, he does not realize if the Bible were not true, God did not exist, then he too would not would be only a myth himself. For it is the Bible that authenticates even Satan. It is interesting that Satan will tell a believer God is not real, and then tell him later God does not love you. The believer should ask Satan, "What God? If there were no God, there would be no God to love us." We must recognize that Satan is the father of lies. Now, in spite of the ridiculous arguments submitted by Satan and the skeptics to try to refute the validity of God's word, they shake many believers and tempt them to doubt. The attacks are more effective against the new and inexperienced convert, for Satan knows his flimsy argument against God and his word will not stand the test of knowledge of a child of God who knows his Bible. And that's why it's critical to stay in the word, read your Bible, understand the word, that when doubt comes, you have enough word in there to counteract that doubt, because you know who God is because you spent time with him. You've been in this word. Now, for this reason, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Now, let's look at the antidote here, and that is faithfulness. In uncertain times, people need to understand that they have a certain God who has left an inspired book that is accurate in foretelling the things that will come upon the world prior to the coming of the Lord. The Holy Bible tells us God is faithful. Read it over in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Now, the antidote for fear and doubt is faithfulness. Because God is faithful, we can be faithful as well as the children of God. It does not matter what skeptics and Satan uses to attack. If we are faithful to the Lord, we have sufficient strength to resist and overcome every attack of the enemy. Now, derived from faith, now the word, root word of the term faithfulness is faith. We can only be faithful if we have faith. Fundamental in the believer's response to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe, Hebrews 11 and 6. Faith is the most basic requirement of salvation. We cannot be saved without faith. If we will be faithful in all things concerning the Lord and his work, we will be rewarded accordingly. In the parable of the talents, when the faithful servant came to the Lord, their Lord, and reported that they have doubted the talent given to them, the Lord said to each of them, "Well done," or had doubled, I should say, double the talents that was given to them. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Matthew 25 and verse 21. Likewise, the one's unfaithful servant, they were condemned. Now, let's look further at this scripture and this particular text we're looking at about being faithful. It is also is expressed in our consistent living. If we have faith and are faithful to the Lord and his word, we can survive in the midst of fear and doubt. This kind of faithfulness expresses itself in what could be called four keys that will prevent backsliding. And I want you to write these four keys down that's going to prevent an individual from backsliding. Number one will be prayer and pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It is a command so basic it should not have to be mentioned. Prayer is to our spiritual health what oxygen is to our spiritual being. In essence, it is essential. Prayer, which is a simple talking to God, feeds every starved cells of our spiritual body. As a perfect love casts out fear, perfect prayer strengthens us in casting out fear and doubt. So if you want to cast out that fear and doubt, get in prayer. Start praying, calling on the name of the Lord. Where faithfulness to represent the bricks of our spiritual house, prayer would be the mortar. Without mortar, the stability of the brick is compromised. The building may stand, but it will not withstand any challenges to its stability. How much more and how much should we pray each day? Some say an hour, others suggest that half an hour. The Bible does not tell us how much we are to pray every day, but it tells us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Prayer without ceasing does not mean we are commanded to pray 24 hours every day, which is logistically impossible. It means that we are not to stop praying or having a prayerful attitude. We should stay in an attitude of prayer and let it be a vital part of our daily existence. Praying each day is necessary to be faithful to the Lord. When we get our first automobile driver's license, friends ask, are you driving now? When a person answers yes, it does not mean that the person is at that moment driving his car. Someone may ask an elderly driver if he's still driving. Again, if the answer is affirmative, it only means that he has not stopped driving. Praying without ceasing means that we are not stopped. We will not stop praying. We may not be praying every moment of the day, but we are still yet praying. Prayer each day is necessary for us to be faithful unto the Lord. Prayer is not offered to us as a choice. The scripture commanded us to pray. And if we are to survive as a child of God, we must pray. If we are to be faithful in the midst of fear and doubt, we must pray. Let's look at number two, point number two. You must read your Bible daily in devotion. The Bible is the believer's guide to God and everything about God. The child of God without the Bible is like a chef without a recipe and a conductor without a score, a mechanic without tools, a surgeon without the scalpel. Many years ago, an elder minister advised one man to read the Bible like he reads the daily newspaper. Implied in his advice was that there are several reading levels to the Bible. At one level, we read more rapidly as we glean the main point. At another level, we read with less rapidity and absorb more of the meaning. At the deep level, we read the word for word and savoring each syllable and studying each implied nuance. Each child of God should read the Bible and read it through regularly. It has 1,189 chapters in the Bible. A person can read the Bible through it in 1 year by reading just over 3 chapters every day. Reading 4 chapters each day will enable a child of God to read through it in about 10 months. And so you can read the entire Bible. You can ask yourself, have I made a commitment to sit down and read the entire Bible? That would be a wonderful commitment. Now let's look at another thing. Number three, be faithful to church. It said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse number 25. A person sometimes say, I do not have to attend church to be saved. How many times we have heard people make an attempt to disassociate themselves from what God they call organized a religion. However, the Bible made plain and necessary of a church attendance. Romans 10:13-14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, if we cannot hear without a preacher, it would seem that associating with the truth-proclaiming assembly would be vital. Further, it is not enough to hear a preacher preach through media. The Bible instructs us not to forsake ourselves assembling together, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Faithfulness in church attendance involves giving regularly to the services as one is able. Some people may only attend on limited occasion and consider themselves to be faithful church attendants. Some individuals may complain that they are so busy and have so much to do that they are unable to attend faithfully. But we have more advantage today than ever. In the early days, the 21st century Pentecost, we have automobiles and were rare, and believers attended the churches and generally lacked the comfort of the existence churches have today. Further, many churches, early churches, have numerous service every week, and in revival, the people were usually in service every night. Believers today have no excuse for unfaithfulness in their church attendance. It's important to get into the house of God, to be faithful. God said for us not to forsake that, even more so as we see the day approaching, as well as to exhorting one another, building up each other, encouraging one another. Who was the last person that you exhorted? Who was the last person that you edified and built up? We're living in a time where people are so ready to tear other people down. That's even in the church. But the Bible said edify. And so we as the church, we have to begin to look. Am I in the faith? He said examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And sometimes we need to examine our heart. Am I edifying, or am I complaining, or am I talking about? Am I gossiping? Am I tearing down? Am I being a part of those things that sometimes can be prevalent in the house of the Lord? And God is saying, edify. I don't care what's going on. Edify. Pray for that individual. You don't know what test or trial that they're going through, and they're fighting and battling and trying to hold on to their family, hold on to their children, and trying to bring them back in, or whatever the case may be. We need to edify. We need to build up. You don't know what test or trial that individual have to go home to, or what mountain they're facing, or what river they got to go through and things. We must edify the body of Christ. Build up one another. Let us not tear down. Amen. Let's not prophesy tearing people down. That's what we hear so much now, prophetic word to tear down. No, God is saying, I need you to come to the house of the Lord. I need you to edify, build up your sister, build up your brother. They're in a fight. They're in a battle. And let us help one another and not tear each other down. Oh, my gosh. I feel the anointing power of God right there. Now let's look at point number four. We need to testify to others. Now, as ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Our witness to others is a key to our faithfulness. It is essential to our victory, and they shall overcome by him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, Revelation 12 and 11. When the fire of Pentecost burned brilliantly in our heart, there is a strong desire to share. Let that fire burn in your heart of telling it, sharing what God has done for you. Yes, he has done so much for you. And I know sometime at church we can't tell it all, but guess what? God's going to bring people across your path that you're going to be able to tell it all, share it all, witness, and give your testimony. And while you're doing it, you're overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. If you're in a battle that you need to overcome, start testifying. Amen. Start telling of the goodness of the Lord and what God has done. What the enemy don't want you to do is focus on God's goodness. He wants you to be focused on the test or focus on the negativity that's going on around you. But no, find a place, see a place. In everything God said, give him thanks. This is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. And just begin to give God the glory that's due unto his name. Yes, that's happening, but God's still yet good. He's still yet on the throne. He's still yet able. He's the creator of all things. And all he has to do is just think on me and things will change for my good. Goodness and mercy is following me right now all the days of my life. Begin to testify of the goodness of the Lord. In the middle of the test, testify and stand with your head held high, shoulders squared up and back straight and testify of the goodness of the Lord. I shall live and not die. I feel that in my spirit for you. You shall live and not die. And I will renounce every attack of the enemy. Our testimony does not have to be lengthy. Commentaries of our life or exhausted exegesis on an apostolic doctrine. Amen. It may be a brief declaration concerning the goodness of God. However, it is vitally important that everybody and every child of God share their faith in Christ. Oh, my God. Ah, my God. Let's look at the rewarded in the end. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2 and 10. Now, God requires faithfulness for a person to be rewarded in the end. They must be faithful unto the end. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be the same shall be saved. Matthew 24 and 13. The parable of the talent, Matthew 25, 14 and 14, is a fitting illustration of how our reward for the faithfulness will be handed out. There will be some who have sacrificed much for the kingdom of God who will be rewarded much. There will be others who have sacrifices and given to the Lord work who will receive some reward. But there will be others who are like the man who given one talent and he went to hide it in an effort to preserve it. And as this one man received a rebuke from the master, so they will receive a rebuke from the Lord, and we'll lose even that which they had tried to preserve. Now, although we are living in the end times, it is not the end. There is still time for us to do our best to be faithful in living for Jesus Christ and doing his work. We can be faithful in the midst of fear and doubt. I tell you, child of God, you got to speak to your fear. You got to speak to this world. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You got to tell this world and speak it in the atmosphere. I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff is going to comfort me. You got to put that word out in the atmosphere. And watch. God said, I watch over my word to perform it. God want to do a performance in your life. Release that word. Release it out of your belly. Release it out of your heart. Speak what thus said the Lord. Get the Bible. Walk up and down in your house, in the hallway, and begin to declare what thus said the Lord out of his own word, out of his own thoughts and mind for the children of God. Put it all in your house. Put it all up in the walls and as you speak it out. And watch God perform it. He said, I'm watching so I can perform it. What's happening, we ain't speaking it. What's happening, we ain't releasing it. We got to release this word in the atmosphere and watch God perform it on our behalf. Now, as we get ready to close, God gave me a word for Shekinah. And I want to share this word with you that you can use it too. This is the year of the administration of the Holy Spirit, the power, the anointing, and the authority. The more we release God in the earthly realm, the more we're going to see the power, the anointing, and the authority of the Word of God going out and exuding and doing what God called and said that He has sent it to, because it's not going to return unto Him void. Amen. It's going to accomplish that whereinto it's been sent. Send the word. Amen. He said they was healed. They sent the word and they was healed. Send that word. Open your mouth and let release that word. Release God out of your belly. Release Him out of your mind. Release Him out of your heart and begin to speak Him in the atmosphere. When doubts all around begin to say, I will fear no evil. God is with me. Amen. He goes before me. No good thing will He withhold from me. Begin to just speak the word. And I used to say, walk the word. Walk in that word. What thus said the Lord our God. Oh, I feel the power of God being released. I feel the administration of the Holy Ghost exuding right now. He's being released in your heart, in your mind. Open your mouth. If you don't have it memorized down in your spirit, amen, get your Bible and start walking in your house. Start off with Psalms 23, amen. Go to Psalms 24 and begin to just start releasing that word over your life, over your body, over your home, over your children. Grab their pictures and then line their pictures up, amen, and begin to prophetically speak what thus said the Lord, amen. This thing is for me, my children, and my children's children. They all going to be saved, amen, according to the word of the Lord, amen. And He's a God that will not lie. And He, as He said it, it shall surely come to pass. It's written. Oh, my God. Begin to speak it and watch God perform it on your behalf. Amen. Now, as we find ourselves being surrounded by fear and doubt and inspired by the Holy Spirit, amen, and even a lot of times this fear and doubt is inspired, I should say, by the spirit of the Antichrist and is not of God. This end-time attitude is manifesting itself in two components that are doing their very best to destroy the child of God. Faithfulness. We have an antidote to neutralize the of Satan to distract and destroy us with our faithfulness. Stay focused, child of God. A believer who has faith in Jesus Christ have the potential to be faithful to Him, which the child of God expresses by consistently living their life according to the Lord's expectation, and further, the faithful will be rewarded in the end. This end-time attitude of fear and doubt is manifesting itself in three major ways: the fear of events that's taking place, the fear of the unknown, and the doubt of God's word. Let us beware of these two-dimensional, diabolical onslaught and brace ourselves to withstand it, knowing beforehand the strategy of Satan. Help us to be better prepared for his attack. Fear and doubt, it has no place in the child of God. Everyone that listened to this broadcast, I declare, amen, and rebuke the spirit of fear and doubt off your life, amen. You will not allow any of these things, the fear of the unknown, amen, and the fear of the events that are taking place, and then the doubt of God's word will have no place in the life of the child of God. And Satan, the Lord God rebuke you. We come against you right now, and in the name of Jesus, we shall, the children of God shall and will be faithful unto God, to the word of the Lord and the things of God, and they will take the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the devil. And Father, we shall be overcomers and overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The more the enemy try to bring in doubt, the more we're going to speak the word, and more we're going to put a praise in the atmosphere and watch God perform it for the children of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, Shakaramasha. Father, we thank you for this word. We ask that you bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, child of God, as I close on today, encourage someone to come and join us even on next Tuesday. Amen. Or go back and archive any of the sessions that we have done. And as I always would say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. I pray, child of God, as we close out today, that there will be a no sorrow blessing that will come unto you. I tell you, child of God, we're doing something new, too. I wanted to share before we go off the air today. It's called the Zigzag Prayer. If you're interested in it, go to my website. Amen. Go hit me up on the Facebook. Amen. We're praying as never before. God's sovereign will.